Hey everyone, it's another edition of Stunt Granny Audio. This is Jeremy. Kevin's with me this week. Hello.
Woohoo! It's the half asshole edition.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Although Dusty's trying to rein in on our parade lately, so no. Yeah, we're here to talk about wrestling and all the fun stuff that went on. I don't think we've had. Have we done an audio since Bryan Danielson got released? I don't believe so. I mean, let's hope not, because that's what we're going to talk about. So.
No, we have not actually, because that shenanigans took place on Friday.
All right. Well, I don't know. We were talking about it before we even started this. Let's just keep going with it. Everyone knows by now, Bryan Danielson, Daniel Bryan, whatever. Now we call him Bryan Danielson again, so that's nice. Not that we ever
Yeah.
stopped. He got released by WWE Friday, he said. Something like that. That's called research, whatever. And the details were sketchy. No one really quite knew if this was a work or not. It sure kind of reeked like one to begin with, because they posted it on the website, but then WWE still had his Twitter account as a friend of his. All sorts of like just little strange things. And then Monday came and they wrote him off of the show and then did just enough to give you a little hint that maybe, he is still with the company, if you believe the limo driver thing. And then today John Cena talked about it. So there's a rough summary, in case for those who just stop paying attention or just don't care. I guess the question to you is, do you think it was a work to begin with, or did you always, I mean, always just kind of feel like, oh, well, yeah, they just fucking let him go.
I was, because I didn't read it until Sunday when I went to Stun Granny, and I
Yeah.
saw Dusty had posted on it. And I'm like, my initial reaction is, you have got to be fucking kidding me. And then he had the update about the fact that it was probably about the whole tie incident with Justin Roberts.
Yeah.
I don't even know how that can be. Like, how can that not fit into PG rating? Like,
Okay. Here's
you
since
know, like that's one of those things to me that's just like, if that is seriously what the issue was, I still don't understand. Like, I think I watched that Star Wars Clone Wars on Cartoon Network, and it's a PG rating.
Yeah.
And I would consider more stuff on there, like them lopping people's heads off. I mean, I know they don't show the head rolling or anything, but they clearly kill people on that show.
Yeah. But don't you think,
And
don't you think though
so
that
it's still
they're not
PG
under the
rating.
scrutiny? Yes, but they're not under the scrutiny that WWE, and I mean, and that's WWE's fault, the scrutiny they get now. But don't you think that's just a byproduct that WWE has to, and I'm not agreeing, I'm not agreeing with him being let go, don't get me wrong, because of
Right.
this. But don't you think that's just because of the increased scrutiny they've gotten lately? I mean, the dumbasses, they went back. I mean, I don't know how many years this goes back now, but we know where I'm going. They had naked chicks on the show. I mean, even the more recent stuff with Lita letting a titty fly out on live TV. And of course, you've got, going way back with the Trish Stratus, all the diva stuff, that
Right.
them working their image over, I mean, they really have to go bare bones, right? I mean, sort of.
It's one of those things to me that, you think you can get him a suspension or something like that. Like, dude, you've really got to rein it in. Like, that was a little, like, I mean, if that, and again, that is the only semi-confirmation of what got him fired. Like, there could, I mean, there's still a potential that there was something else that set it off.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. What I wasn't going to bring this up later, but with the whole choke and tie, and it was Justin Roberts being choked with a tie, and apparently he also would drop like Jesus Christ and the stuff, that sort of thing, which they were, getting all over his case about, saying, you can't do this, you've been warned, don't do this, okay? But I guess and that's fine. I mean, you don't want to swear. I mean, they use butt and crap and whatever. But if that's the case, if he's choking Justin Roberts out, okay, yeah, that was messed up. Who's the director? Who called for the shot to be on TV? Why did they stay on it so long? That person should be fired as well for break because they're supposed to know the policy as well. So if you're going to fire a guy for doing that, who really was working in the moment, and you can make that argument for the director as well, but if you're not going to cut slack for Bryan Danielson to do this stuff, then the director doesn't get a shake either. So it shouldn't just be the wrestler being fired. It should be the production staff as well. And for the person who called for that spot. Because Justin, what's his name? Well, Justin Roberts clearly was in on it. Because he had, I mean, you know, he was given the facial expressions. He knew exactly what to do. Well, then his ass should be fired too because he was part of it.
I definitely agree with the production part, but I don't know. I guess I don't know. Well, just because I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around this still, honestly, is the incident that it happened on. I mean, if you've warned the guy that he was, and I can't believe Jesus Christ is bad.
Well, I mean, I guess when used as a curse or, I mean, this, you know what I mean? If you've been used in a derogatory sense, then I guess it would be. Obviously, that's not something, you know, we subscribe to, mind you, but.
Well, yeah, I didn't think my parents would pull that stuff off.
Yeah.
You know, and my parents are as old school as it gets, and it's just like, seriously, like, no, they would not have a single problem with that. Like, they wouldn't think twice of it.
Well, I don't think a lot of people would. But remember, it's also not the majority of people that they worry about. It's the minority of people who will be picked up and their story will be carried and they'll get pressed for all this sort of stuff. You know, we've seen how that works with other things. I mean, hell, we hear about it from the same radio show we listen to, you know. It's that sort of thing where the small groups are the ones that make the most racket and get the most results. I mean, right or wrong, whatever you think about it. But again, it still goes back to them fighting off the scrutiny of their past and just what they've done in the past that's caused people to pay closer attention to them.
Well, and their sheer volume of popularity, I think, has something to do with that, too. I mean, as much as people want to say they don't like it, there are obviously large quantities of persons going to these events.
Yeah.
So,
well, apparently,
making your product more popular is also a problem in the whole equation.
Yeah. Well, I think Eric and I talked about the angle. I think you and Dusty touched on it, too, I believe.
Yeah.
The NXT angle. And I mentioned in our audio all the kids that were in the audience that night, too. They were all over ringside. They were all on the floor. So you've got a guy going against your policy, choking somebody out in front of all these kids. And it's like, oh, shit. And it's obviously a panic move. Clearly somebody else called this in. I can't imagine Vince McMahon was the one going, all right, you know, this is horrible, don't worry about it. I can't see him changing his stripes and actually giving a shit about this. I really can't.
Right.
So, we're kind of taking not too much time, but what about releasing him to begin with? I mean, you mentioned a suspension, and that's fine. They could have punished him in the angle, too.
Yeah, well, pulled back his role or something like that.
Yeah, made him the job boy instead of Darren Young. You know, just something like that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's just hard to believe that you can take drugs in that company and get less of a punishment.
Mm-hmm.
than what he got.
Right.
I mean, Carlito only got released because that dummy did not want to accept going to rehab.
Right.
Seriously? I mean, that guy can be that much of a pillhead that he needs to go to rehab. But really, the only thing that was going to happen to him was A, rehab, and B, 30 days off, some of which would be spent at the rehab facility.
Exactly. Yeah, no, you're right. And it really just goes to show, I don't know, it's another one of those weird WWE double standards where they're like, all right, do this but not this. Well, even though that's a lot worse, you can get away with that instead of getting away with this. And I don't know. The WWE is such a weird business environment to begin with. And I think part of it is that they're trying to change their culture, as I brought up before.
Yeah.
So when they do something extreme like this, it's just like, what the fuck? Are you crazy? Like, really? Why are you doing this now? You've had plenty of time, blah, 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 blah. You know, change your tune, this and this.
Right.
Yeah, and just one of those weird sort of instances where it's like, you've got to be kidding. So now that we clearly established this doesn't work anymore, people are trying to get answers, and
I think that is the funny thing. It's been it really took until today with John Cena talking about when Cena even said that first, like on Monday or something, that he was going to sign a petition to get him back in the WWE or whatever. To me, it was still like, okay, this is still a work.
Oh,
you know,
I didn't even see that part. I know. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
all right.
Because then he talked about it again today. And I'm like, because I think today was the day that it finally hit me. I'm like, man, they are not fucking kidding.
Yeah.
Like, this really is like, I mean, you know, almost a full 5 days have gone by where I'm like, okay, this is a joke. Like, this has got to be a joke. Like, there's no way they released the best guy that they've had on NXT so far.
Well, okay. I'm actually glad you said that. Now, they gave, you know, I mean, on NXT, there was Daniel Bryan, Wade Barrett, Atunga, and really Justin Gabriel were the four, if you want to put it that way. That actually has something built around it. And Justin Gabriel, I'm throwing in there at the end because because he made it to the end.
I think that got forced upon them a little bit.
But I just think they spent an inordinate amount of time on a guy that now they released out of the blue. And Dusty was going crazy when I was talking to him on the messenger about it. They spent all this time. They got his name out there. They successfully got his name changed. And everything was going right for it. To do something like this is just counterproductive to a good business plan, really. I mean, you've just written off the one guy that you were trying to get over as the ultimate face of the entire competition. Even if he, like, you know, turned heel, whatever else.
Right.
And then... But when you said he was the best on there, well, I'm trying not to jump into the NXT angle yet, but I think a case can be made that Wade Barrett was actually the best one. And maybe not in skill-wise, but, honestly, everything else, Wade Barrett was better than Daniel Bryan. Talking, his look, the build, let me back up a little. He was the best one.
It's amusing to hear you mention his look, considering that you did not like said tattoo that he carries around, and said that you didn't like his look initially.
Yeah. No, I did not. It's been an easier thing to accept now, especially after he came out and actually looked the part. He looked legit. But then also he hasn't been coming out with that stupid. Jacket on. Yes. Now, the only thing he needs to change up is he needs to stop puckering his lips. And, I mean, I was talking to Eric about it. I still stand by saying he'll main event for WrestleMania sooner or later.
I can't really disagree with anybody that would argue for Barrett. He probably has a little bit more in the mic department, and it's more than easy to say that he has the WWE build.
Right.
You know, he's
6'4".
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, what's his name? Oh, because, oh, when you and Eric were talking last week, you're like, well, even Shawn Michaels is a little bit bigger. So I went and looked it up. I was like, huh, I wonder how much bigger he really is. I went to, the online World of Wrestling there. And mm-hmm. What was it? Oh, Michaels was listed as 6'2", 225.
Yeah.
And Danielson was 5'10", 190.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting to me. It really is.
But still,
I guess I could have done my own research.
Big, you know, that's big enough, though. Like, that's another one of those things that I think that CM Punk is, like, that minimum size that they kind of require. Because I always use him as a barometer for size, because he is still one of the smaller guys. And Michaels, even when he was more jacked up, was still fairly, I mean, you know, you can't get, you know, when you're 6 foot, when you're quote unquote just 6 foot, you know, you're still kind of living in the trees in their company.
Right. Yeah. and now that you can't take the shortcut anymore to become a more old style WWE legit size, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it. Okay, before we get ahead, I'm trying to pull the John Cena thing up.
Okay.
I'm trying to keep it on track, but okay. So, John Cena was interviewed. I'm getting this off of ProWrestling.net. You can find it over there. He was interviewed by Tom Herrera of FanHouse, and this guy apparently directly asked John Cena if the Bryan Danielson was legit, the release. And Cena said, I'm going to quote this, all right. Well, the release is legitimate. It was something that I don't understand. It's something that a lot of people are upset about. This is one of those things where, you know, WWE is a business, and they choose to make a business decision. I think what is right for the WWE Universe to do is show that they have a bit of power. If they really feel so strongly about the subject, the consumer has the largest voice here. And if they were really serious, they should organize their efforts, put forth body of work, blah, 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 sign a petition, reinstate Bryan Danielson. So I think, as you said, Cena finally spoke out, and now it's legit that he actually is gone. Here's the thing, and I'm just going to throw this out there. Cena is a known company man, okay? Is it possible, and this is just to keep the suspense or, you know, intrigue going, is it possible that he is actually creating a bigger angle now? By getting the internet fans, you know, the people who were supporting Daniel Bryan, getting them involved, if everyone wants to go to a grand internet conspiracy thing, that they're keeping them interested by trying to organize their efforts, even though he's not really gone.
It's conceivable.
Well, it's a long pause, you know, there. I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah, I don't think that it's the case, but, you know, again, with how secretive, like, they don't seem to leak a lot of information,
mm-hmm.
The WWE in general. It's not like, because they can limit access to information so well,
mm-hmm.
Anything is possible, you know, like, to me, most conspiracy theories are kind of, you know, a little crackpot, no matter which side of the boat that you want to rock towards. With them, it's a small entity. They only have a fairly finite amount of employees, and probably even less that are actually in on the loop, and most of which are somehow related to the McMahon family.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of like, okay, yeah, I mean, they could keep their yappers shut for the most part and have this be a bigger angle. Now, I don't know what the bigger angle is. Like, I mean, unless, you know, Wade Barrett comes back on Sunday and says, oh, our part of our package deal was to get Brian Daniel back into the mix. You know, I suppose they could play it that way if they really wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, they kind of wrote him out on Monday, so I was just throwing that out for the sake of argument. Yeah.
Yeah, no, at this point, they seem to have gone out of their way. Like, yeah, because, again, we, at least I still did, thought there still might be some angle being played out when Wade Barrett said that on Monday, and then there was no official limo driver.
Right.
Like, okay, well, then maybe there's still some gray area in here, but it seems like with every information, all the information they put out, because they don't even usually mention angles on the website itself. So,
right.
I mean, I don't know why, of all times, we thought, oh, this has got to be an angle. You know, I mean, that really should have been more of a tip-off than anything. Really, that it wasn't fake. Like, I've never seen him say, oh, yeah, Victoria's gone. And no, she was gone. She was out of there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, it didn't,
yeah,
or even Mickie James, I guess, would be the more recent one. Like, huh? She, like, just had the belt 2 weeks ago or something. What the fuck?
Yeah. No, like I said, I was throwing that out just for the sake of argument. It's her conversation, I guess. I mean, I know they left open, like, the whole limo driver thing. Unless just one of those logic gaps by WWE where they're like, all right, we're not even going to bother trying to explain it, you know?
Right.
It was just, they, you know, there was just a guy doing it. I don't know. I can see why people are upset, but at the same time, to me, it doesn't kill the NXT angle. That was one thing Dusty was, you know, it seemed to be he was very attached to. Was it not having Brian or Daniel Bryan in this hurt the NXT angle? And I disagree. I didn't care either way that he wasn't out there. Now, if they wouldn't have addressed it, then there would have been something there. Like, wait a minute. I mean, you can't have this guy just disappear all of a sudden. But did it seem like you were getting shortchanged, or, you know, it ruined the angle? I mean, it just didn't seem that way.
I think it hurts simply, and I would say hurts as opposed to Rex. Like,
okay.
You know, they can still carry out the angle just peachy keen, but not having that other guy that's really, you know, if they put him in some type of a match to wrestle for their contracts or something silly like that.
Mm-hmm. Which is exactly where you were going, yeah.
Not having a second guy that can really, like, I like Justin Gabriel's moveset, but he's still kind of, well, those kind of moves just can be a little sloppy sometimes. Because, I mean,
right.
Even though he's not an aerial guy, like, the spin kicks and everything can still kind of go awry a little more easily than, let's say, Wade Barrett's offense.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Danielson was definitely a guy that could deliver on that front without a problem. Like, I didn't think he did poor, aside from slipping on the ring ropes, which happens to everyone at some juncture.
Yeah, yeah. And that person always catches hell, too. So.
Yeah, like, I mean, I know that I've seen Chris Jericho do it on the Lion Salt. Like, you know, I know I've seen Rey Mysterio do it before. You know, I mean, it happens to even the best of the people because they're just kind of an unknown quantity in a way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, yeah, it hurts that I think, and again, like, we only thought there were four really good wrestlers in the whole thing, or at least four big names in it, so losing one of the four big names is kind of like,
ugh.
It kind of does take a little bit of a hit here, but yeah, it does not wreck the angle, especially since Barrett was the mouthpiece, and he's the centerpiece, really, of it, too.
Well,
yeah.
Okay. Well, we can kind of tie this in then with Monday night. And it seemed to be that this was WWE's biggest angle they've had in years. I mean, judging by, you know, the reaction online, which is where we cater, even the, you know, the people who don't really watch, the guys at work, we were even asking what the hell that was about. So it was a decent, you know, it was a good angle. It was a hot angle, and it was one they needed to follow up with. And they followed it up in Florida Championship Wrestling. They had Heath Slater, and I can't remember the other guy, taking on The Miz, and, you know, I think it was Bryan Daniel, or Daniel Bryan. God damn it. They followed up down there. And then Monday comes along, and it starts off fine. Okay.
Right.
I guess one nitpick I have is, why are they dressed in their wrestling gear? And I know that's an old 80s staple as well. Whenever they would interview somebody, whenever they come out, they would have, you know, they'd be in their wrestling gear for whatever reason, okay? But nowadays, it's changed up to where people come out and they're not wearing their wrestling gear anymore. It's their, you know, costumed street clothes, if you will. So,
right.
I don't know, it just seems awkward to me. And then especially when they made it clear that the other guys don't have WWE contracts and Wade Barrett does, okay? And what I'm
right.
getting at is Wade Barrett should be dressed to wrestle, if you want to look at it in WWE logic. Him being dressed to wrestle makes total sense because anything can happen, okay? But the other guys, they aren't wrestlers. Where the hell are they changing? No one notices the guys walking around in their underwear in the concourse, you know? That's just one of those logic things that just irks me, really. So,
yeah. Yeah, that makes some sense. I didn't even think about it, honestly, so.
Yeah, but then, you know, they come out, and I like the fact that they allowed everybody to get mic time. I felt bad for Darren Young because he messed up a simple line again. The 2 weeks that they've been on Raw to me has gotten their character and their personalities established and over way more than all those weeks of NXT did. And if you don't feel the same way, I mean, that's understandable, but it just seems to me that even the small amount of mic time they've gotten, they're playing their character finally instead of playing a character. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, well, and I think that I think you're right because, and this is something that I've brought up before, is that they just didn't set up the show very well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they did not. They really could have given it its own storylines. They can't decide. Even now, they can't decide whether they're a reality, but like at least they have boundaries this year. Like, okay, first vote's here, 50%, you know, pros, 50% other people. You know, they set up some more guidelines, but it's still kind of weird. Like, you went from doing those segments that I don't like that are kind of reality TV based, like, oh, let's play, what the fuck was it? The Rock'em Sock'em Robot type deal, Fungo bars or whatever the fuck they are.
Monkey bars.
Yeah, them doing that and selling the papers and, doing the obstacle course. It's just like, you know, if they helped establish, a reason to do that stuff, it would help. Just have people win. You get the main event that night. Like, they don't even need to have them win Raw all the time, like the guest host at Raw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they need to organize their show, and it would help get over the characters because they know what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Fortunately, the WWE still is kind of in this weird mode, like... I'm going to fucking jump ahead. And they were trying to get over the pros more, almost, on these first two shows, to me, than they were the rookies.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Yeah, save that. I was going to bring that up as well. Let's go back to on Monday. Now, Bret Hart coming out and firing Wade Barrett actually makes total sense. And when he did that, I was shocked that they had actually been that smart and planned that far ahead. I mean, when he goes, "Oh, you all, your biggest mistake you ever made, you're fired." And I was like, holy shit, what? I mean, when else has that happened? And I understand it's not an established guy, but seriously, when else, when other time has the authority figure, besides McMahon, whatever, just come out and said, "Oh, really? You're out of here then. Go fuck yourself."
Yeah, you really wish you'd see that more often. I mean, unfortunately, it'd get old.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, you know what? You see all these rules and all these other, you know, in other sports.
Right.
It's just like, what the fuck? Like, you can't suspend the guy. You can't do anything. Like, you know, there's got to be some consequences for people acting like morons all the time. And, yeah, considering that he is pretty much just a new guy, firing him seems quite logical to me, especially after what he'd done the previous week.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't like when they talk about people being arrested because, it's just silly. McMahon having Austin arrested was one thing because he was an announcer, that sort of stuff. That was kind of fun. But when there's no, you know, there's no oh, my God, I forget. I can't think of the word all of a sudden. Anyway,
well,
but when it was like,
they were trespassing, and I'll tell you what. Do you think when we trespassed and got backstage at the Royal Rumble that we could have just walked up front and just said hi to the ring crew without getting in trouble?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, hey, there's no way in hell we could have done that. So all seven of those guys somehow pull a Jack Bauer and slip through security to get in there and have mic time, and security doesn't touch them yet.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. well, I guess that was part of the fun thing with WCW, because they did escort, like, Hall and Nash out and that sort of stuff, you know, after they proved their point, of course. But
yeah, when you're, well, at least when you're a little bit consistent, it makes sense, but I mean, like, calling the cops after that kind of garbage, it's just like, huh? Like,
yeah.
They came from the, didn't they come from the back, too? They didn't come through the crowd this time, did they?
You know, at the beginning of the show, I believe they did, didn't they? No, they were already in the ring, weren't they? I think they were already in the ring.
This is where it'd be useful to actually pull up, my computer sucks.
But, okay. Well, all right, and that's all that needs to be said. You know, they fired to get out of the ring, and they were, like, stunned and left. Apparently, they just left, and no one cared.
And they had great facial reactions to that, too. They're like, huh? Like, that was one of those, the face was like, oh, I didn't really think this through, did I?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was not what I was expecting to happen.
Yeah, and then Atunga was just like, whatever. We'll figure something out.
Yeah, I got plenty of cash. I don't give a shit.
Yeah. But then, all right, then Cena comes out later and calls him out, and they come right back down. And this is where I just threw my hands up and was like, well, this got fucked up already. This is the end of the angle already. And then all the WWE guys, heel and face, come out and fight the guys off. That's when I sent you the text to say, well, nice to see they fucked this up already. That part of the show should have never happened. They could have had Lawler come. They could have had Lawler and Cena, you know, fight them. Suspending logic, the guys are still in the arena somehow. They're hanging out in the concourse in their underwear. Well, nobody. I mean, so Cena could have called them out, and you know, it would have been absolutely acceptable if they would have come down and Cena tried to fight them off again. And Lawler got involved that time. And got his ass beat, whatever. Then you just keep escalating it until you're forced. I mean, and Evan Bourne coming down would make sense, too. because he could have made the said, well, you know what, I wasn't around last week, so I'm coming down to help you out. Got his ass beat, too.
Uh-huh.
And then have an escalation of people, like, they're getting tired of these guys coming in and doing this stuff. I mean, I don't know. It was a moment WCW never did. But at least they never did it instead of doing it too soon. I don't know. I was just really mad when that happened, just figuring, well, this angle's over already. And they're writing it off. I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
Was that an overreaction, or did you get the same feeling, or?
Well, because you'd warned me, it didn't maybe quite have the same impact. Like, it's always one of those things where no matter how vague you are with your texts, it's just kind of like, oh, okay, I know when it came in, so I know when to approximately look for a problem.
Yeah.
And it's just like, huh? Like, if it had never occurred, it really wouldn't change the show at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the show would have been perfectly fine without that attack having happened. You know, they get booted. They have all the guys. You know, Bret Hart still brings everybody out to the ring to make sure that it doesn't happen again, which is, you know, minorly bizarre in and of itself, really.
Yeah.
Too.
Wouldn't it have better?
Then they collect Bret Hart at the end, beat him up, and then they give him the ultimatum. It's
right.
Just like, oh, okay, you know, storyline still complete. The rookies don't look like that big of punks by having the whole locker room attack them.
Yeah. Okay. Wouldn't it have been better? John Cena comes out and addresses it. Okay? And it says, you know what? I know you guys, I don't know if you guys are out there or not. Let's finish what you started. If no one comes out, seriously, if it meant going to commercial break, have him in the ring waiting for them to show up. And if anything, just stand there. Pull an Austin, get a chair and sit there. Just basically demand them to come out. And when they don't after commercial break, he's like, you know what, folks? I don't want to take up any more of your time. He's like, but here's how it's going to be. You guys show up Monday. We'll finish this. Then you have another moment. I mean, this stuff's not hard to write. And then they get around the whole awkwardness of running the guys off, you know?
Yeah, and especially when it's like, in some ways, it would have made sense if the guys that fought off the rookies had just been the coaches from the previous season.
Yes.
I mean, I know Regal was down there, which is fine. Was R-Truth down there?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I don't remember.
Well, I think it was a mix of people that had been coaches and a mix of other people. If it had just been the coaches that are left came down to help Cena out, it would have made a little more sense. Like, man, we kind of fucked this up in the first place, so let's go out and help him out.
Yeah, since none of us helped last time, yeah.
Yeah, even if you're bound and determined to have them back in there and to have that little showdown, it would have made sense if it was just all of the coaches and that was it. Like, why does the rest of the locker room honestly care that John Cena got the hell beaten out of him? Why do they care that Justin Roberts got the hell beat out of him? I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
At least they tried to explain it with... a thing for any of them.
Yeah. Well, at least they tried to explain it with Sheamus. Because he said, they're messing up my... he's messing up my title shot.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's like, all right, cool. You know, all right.
Yeah.
But then...
Yeah, that is true. They did give Sheamus an excuse for coming down
there. And if this would have happened after the pay-per-view, it would have been better. Or a month from now, it would have been better. But then it moved on to the end. And this is the thing I hated about the end of this. This is my nitpick part. All the guys are standing on stage, okay? The match is going on. It goes dark. Okay, whatever. They show what's happening backstage. They cut back to the arena, or an arena shot from the ring. Everybody's still standing on stage. No one's going to run. I mean, you agreed to come out and stand guard, but you don't have. But none of them will run backstage to save him.
Yeah.
You know, am I asking too much? Is that too much of a nitpick for that?
No, that is not a nitpick at all. Like, they had really at least should have gotten their lazy at. A couple of people could have run backstage to at least try and get the attack done with earlier. And that's one of those logic things that seems to happen way too often in the WWE.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely not just this angle. It's just like, they just sit there and they watch the TV screen as their valet gets abducted, you know, something horrendous is happening to their tag team partner. It's like, fuckhead, the arena is only so big and you know where the locker rooms are. Run back there and fucking help them out.
Right. Here's the other part. I can't believe both of us forgot to mention this. When they ran off in the second segment, Mark Henry actually was running ahead of some of them. So, either they were running incredibly too slow, or Mark Henry's actually really fast. I mean, did you notice that? He was actually ahead of two of the NXT guys. And as they were running, he smacked one on the back to get him going. I was howling. I was like, look at Fat Boy run. I was like, hey, Kool-Aid, getting his groove on. It was great. So, you know what? They should be fired for allowing that to happen. You don't let the world's strongest man, the guy who can barely move in the ring, outrun you.
Yeah, that was pretty silly, honestly. Well, just even, I don't think I noticed that he was ahead of a couple of the guys, but having him be anywhere close to them is unacceptable.
Evan Bourne, I could see. Edge, Edge got bad knees. Sheamus, which is one of those guys. But not fucking Mark Henry, for Christ's sake. I mean, it'd be like Big Show leading the pack, you know? Anyway. But, so go back, and they, you know, kidnap Bret Hart, rough him up in the car, which I thought was really smart, because you could tell they edited part of it, and then went back to it. I read some people didn't like the whole limo thing. Yeah, some people didn't like the limo, thought it was cheesy. Or thought it was desperate. And I'm like, well, you can't do much with Bret Hart. So bringing back the classic car thing isn't that bad of an idea to me. So,
Well, yeah, you don't have to show anyone getting beaten up.
Right.
You can just go, oh, I'm woozy, after Bret Hart gets out of the car and just have him lay there. Like, even just aside from the whole Bret Hart thing, it saves you from just getting another beatdown like they did last week.
Right.
You know, kind of, yeah, no, I don't understand why there would be a problem with that, honestly. Like, that doesn't make a lick of sense to me. It was perfectly fine. Like, if you're going to go by the whole PG rating and we want to keep blood out of it and, you know, we don't really want to see anybody get hurt, that's the way to do it. To me, that would not quite be violent enough, but, you know, hey, whatever. That's the world that they're living in, so let's go with it. Especially,
and frankly,
after the Danielson stuff.
And it was a cool visual. I mean, a car's crashing into each other. It creates a lot of, if you use wrestling terms, movement and sound, man. I mean, there's a lot of movement going on out there. So it was really cool. I mean, they just bashed. It was really fun when they backed up the limo all the way and smashed it into that car. That was just fun. I mean, and who wouldn't want to do that to begin with? So, but, Yeah, and I also liked how they subtly teased the pay-per-view. They wrapped up the NXT angle into the Fatal 4-Way pay-per-view when Barrett said, you've got till Sunday to give us your answer. No one's mentioning that not only did they save the NXT angle, but then they actually worked it into something that would make the money in the short term, as well as the long term. So,
yep.
That's just me, I guess. But no. Now, one thing I was talking to Eric about, and I forgot to mention this to you, probably on purpose. I was kind of hoping that the NXT thing would have led to them going to SmackDown just for a one-off appearance, if anything. And wreaking havoc a little bit on that show.
That, to me, was just kind of weird. If I discussed this with you on IM this week, how utterly lazy the WWE writers were. They come up with one good angle for the first time, and I'm not sure how many. Okay, Michaels and Jericho was good. I'm trying to think of the last other really good storyline that they came up with. And nothing was on the surprise level that this was either, though. Like, that was good. I don't know. I guess you can say the build up for Undertaker Michaels was really good. Like, yeah, they've done some decent stuff, but nothing had the shock level and the, like, holy shit, is this actually going on kind of level that this has. Like, I can't tell you the last angle that was this, like, surprising to me.
Mm-hmm.
And they just sat on their hands and did nothing for the rest of the week aside from going, hey, we wrote one really good thing this week.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck off, people. We're out of here.
Yeah, we're taking off until next Sunday.
Yeah, we're taking, well, at least they wrote something on Monday, but it's just like, yep, we're out of here. Fuck off.
Yeah.
And, you know, they could have tied it into SmackDown this past week a little bit better to me, aside from showing the highlights for the, they showed them on NXT, they showed them on Superstars, and then they showed it again on SmackDown.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously? That's what's going to happen?
Okay.
You know, yeah, it should have been tied into SmackDown more anyway, just to me in general. You know, if you're pissed off at the company, why are you just picking on the one show?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I guess their excuse could be, and maybe, and who knows how long they plan this out. There's a lot of word going around that, you know, the limo driver may turn out to be Chris Jericho. Because he wasn't on stage, he didn't come out to save anybody. I don't believe he was standing on stage to watch guard. And then they needed someone to be driving a limo. So, you know, why not Chris Jericho? It would tie into Wade Barrett, at least. And then it would also help explain the other NXT rookies being aligned with Barrett, where he could be like, well, look what he did for me. He can do the same thing for you guys. It's a simplistic way of looking at it, but we're not dealing with highbrow entertainment anyways. So,
yeah, no, it would certainly help. And I think I mentioned this to Dusty last week is, you know, because they had thrown out some ideas that it was Cole or this person and that person. At least Jericho would be high profile enough that, you know, you wouldn't go, oh, okay. And he's kind of lost a couple of matches recently. And was he even really on Raw at all this week?
Yeah, remember he lost to Evan Bourne? Because
he
threatened to hit the referee, so he got disqualified. How stupid is that? Just so dumb. I've never seen a dumber way to end a match, but, well, I have, but that week. So, all right. So we covered NXT enough. And I mentioned one guy's name, and that was one thing that was a positive again this week, is the entire fact Evan Bourne is getting a push again. Is getting a push. He lost to Chris. He beat Chris Jericho, you know, by disqualification, whatever. But the guy has right now. I mean, we talked about this today. Everything that WWE is looking for, other than being 6'5", And, you know, the squeaky voice, but whatever.
Yeah.
He really does have it. I mean, he's youthful. He's athletic looking. He's athletic. You know, the talking will come, like you said. So is this another positive that's just getting lost in, you know, that's getting lost on NXT angle? Is this something we should be actually celebrating, or just like, oh, well, you know, they're teasing us again with something new?
Well, it kind of depends upon what they do with them still here in the future. Like, I don't think it's going to get lost, and he's not involved in any of the matches at the pay-per-view, is he? I don't think he is.
That card's a weird card. I mean, I had it pulled up. I shut it down.
Unless,
there aren't that many matches on it.
You know what? If they want to, and this ties into something else that we were going to talk about, The Miz winning the belt on Monday. What did you call that? A mistake corrector?
It was a mistake corrector, but at the same time, it was also, it was just a preview for, like, what can happen at Fatal 4-Way. So, you know, they kind of sacrificed it to get the pay-per-view over. So.
Yeah, to me, that was more the point is, hey, look, somebody else can pin somebody that isn't the champion and they
right.
can get the belt.
Yeah.
But see, you know what? They could also put Bourne in the rematch and have him beat Miz.
Yeah. Oh, that would be.
I mean, yeah. As much as I like Evan, or as much as I don't mind R-Truth, like I understand why they're pushing him. Like I can rip on him to high heavens about him just letting the sheep chant his crappy, awful saying. But you know, it's not going to change what the fuck happens on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Bourne probably needs the belt a little bit more than he does at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's still going to be over with his little rapping gimmick. Bourne, they might be able to get over a little bit better if they put some gold around his waist.
Yeah. But I think it may be too soon for that.
Sucks,
but well, all right. I pulled up the card, and there's only four matches for Fatal 4-Way. There's the World Championship Fatal 4-Way, the WWE Championship Fatal 4-Way, the Divas Championship Fatal 4-Way, and then the U.S. Championship match between The Miz and R-Truth. There's nothing else on this card. There's four matches. And I can't imagine that they're going to give the Fatal 4-Way matches, you know, 30 minutes or more each, especially the women's match. So they got to add something else. I mean, it's been a very ill-conceived pay-per-view in my eyes.
It really has kind of taken a back seat to everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you've really said from the beginning, I think you mentioned already earlier this show, that they should have let the NXT angle happen after this pay-per-view so as not to overshadow it.
Right, and it is.
Yeah, and I thought they'd do something more this week to build up some matches or something, but they really haven't.
No.
You know, it's just kind of like,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Especially with all the talent on Raw.
Yeah. And that's the problem with four-way matches, though, is they throw all the talent into, at least what they consider talent, all into one match for the most part. Was it Sheamus, Orton, Edge, and Cena all in one match?
Yeah.
If nothing else, you end up, you take those four guys, split them up, and that's normally two matches.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but then even the United States Championship match, they didn't have, like, a follow-up match. They just have, all right, R-Truth is invoking his, what's it called?
Rematch.
His rematch clause. And, well, in the spirit of the Fatal 4-Way pay-per-view, shouldn't it be a rematch of the Fatal 4-Way? I mean, Morrison won't be on the show. Who was the fourth guy that was in that match? It wasn't Evan Bourne, was it? No.
No.
Who the hell was the other guy? Oh, my God. Anyways, and the other guy that we totally forget. Oh, Zack Ryder.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just strange. And, I mean, there was really no hype for it on NXT this week. NXT was kind of like a focused-in show. I'd love to cover more of the Fatal 4-Way, but who the fuck cares? There's four matches, and I don't know. Just whatever.
Yeah, no. Yeah, exactly. Like, it's just not that big of a deal. It's not to them. It shouldn't be to us.
No. Now, NXT this week, I thought it was an okay show. The Alex Riley Caval match I thought was really good. Probably one of the better, or maybe even the best NXT match of all of them. It got both guys over, and it showed Caval to be something special despite his size. And it showed Alex Riley to be more than that retarded gimmick he's doing with the Letterman's jacket and all this. Just, ugh, whatever. I know Eric's really high on this guy, but I don't know.
You don't like the 70s gimmick?
No,
You don't want to see it. Well, okay, 80s gimmick. You don't want to see him reform the Varsity Club, him and Jack Swagger?
Hey, you know what? If he had sleeves on his jacket, I'd say reform the Varsity Club. I could get behind something like that, yeah. But when he comes out with a Letterman's jacket with no leather jacket, with no leather sleeves, it's just stupid. It's cheesy, and I don't know. I haven't been entertained by the guy, but his match on Tuesday was good. So, and I know it's probably just me, but whatever.
Yeah, well, no, I didn't think about that part of not having the sleeves kind of making it Yeah, it's kind of like he's kind of macho for some reason, like more macho than normal. Like, why? No one that has that and is proud of that would do that to their jacket.
Right.
So, yeah.
I don't know. It's just a funny line to me. No one that's that proud would do that to their jacket. I don't know. It's just funny. Anyways.
Yeah. So, yeah, I can see the problem with that.
Yeah. But then, I mean, what did you think of the match? I mean, I was honestly hoping Caval would win to pull the upset because Miz wasn't there to guide him, you know?
Right.
I think it would have helped
greatly,
but...
No, this is going to be it. I've kind of noted, as soon as they showed the pairing, they're like, the WWE just seems to get a joy out of fucking with the internet fans. Like, Dusty said that they don't probably try to go out of their way to do it, but I don't know. It kind of seems like they do for some reason or another. You know, teaming him with them, like, to me, I don't know. I know that you didn't like their commentary, or at least that was the vibe I got from you.
Not at all.
I was just amused as all shit because it's still just this complete opposites thing. Like, they're kind of these airheads, and they're not kind of hardcore or anything like that. And he's just kind of this psychopath that's got to tolerate these two ditzes.
Now, see, if you would have described that before seeing it, okay, I would have expected that. But to me, what I got were two babbling bitches. It wasn't even like I can't stand their character thing. It was you two idiots are the exact reason that no one takes women's wrestling seriously. They were like the epitome of everything that people hate in chicks, but not in a good way. Like they weren't adding anything to the match, which is what you're supposed to be doing. To me, at least, it didn't seem like they were adding anything.
Yeah, well, and I think it goes back to, and we kind of touched on it earlier, is that they're seeming to get the pros over more than the NXT rookies these first couple of weeks. And I think that was another one where they got their characters over more than they got him over. Like, they did talk him up a little bit, but not all that much. I think
right.
he did. Cause did he have his segment last week, or did he have his segment this week?
It was this week. A very good segment too. That just shows.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, he came off as eloquent, but sounds so awful.
Oh,
like eloquent, but dangerous at the same time. Like really disciplined, all this sort of stuff. So the kind of guy that you fuck with him, he's going to tear your head off. That's what I got. And that I actually think, pairing them, him with Laycool, I thought was actually a good idea. And they didn't do anything to dissuade me from thinking that this week. Because their commentary to me didn't hurt him. It hurt them. And like I said, this is all my eyes. He was able to have a good match. He looked competitive and nearly won it. And despite the fact that the announcing was trying to kill the match to me. So.
Yeah, well. See, well, and I guess the problem that I have with your comment is there. This is what everyone hates about women's wrestling. That's the script that they're being given. Like, I don't know. Would you expect someone in a movie to go completely off script from what they're supposed to do and
well,
just
see,
play
wonder,
a completely different character?
But I wonder if that is what they're being given, or if, and this goes back to my theory about NXT anyways, that NXT is just a trial and error show for other people. Like, they go, all right, you've got to do this on commentary, go. And that was, like, their failed attempt at getting it over. Just like when they asked these pros in the ring, and which to me has been clear, which is another thing we can bring up about NXT. When it's time for the pros to just go off script and just talk, they're failing at it. I'm not failing, but they haven't been good at it so far.
Well, yeah.
I mean, look at Morrison was horrible last night. But yet, Kofi Kingston was just fine. And Cody Rhodes was okay, too.
Who was bad last night?
Well, I thought Cody Rhodes was fine. So.
Okay. Now, I was just trying to figure out who you said was horrible. My phone just flipped out for a sec.
Okay, yeah, so did mine. So, yeah, fair enough.
Okay.
I'm also going to get my power cord for my laptop because I forgot to plug it in.
Their characters are so one note that I don't know what they can do with them, honestly. Like it's even more monotonous than Jack Swagger's character, which is really kind of saying something, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think that they can go somewhere with Swagger. They're just trying to make people really hate him at this point. So, I mean, I think he's going to be able to move beyond that. But getting back to them, is it just seems like they have been those exact characters for, to me, at least 2 months now. Like, exactly that. And it's just like, okay. You know, that seems to be the way. And that's why I say that's what they were given. You know, they don't have any, they're not allowed to show any semblance of intelligence. Not that I expect any out of the black hole of charisma. Well,
yeah.
Though, what was that? That was kind of funny. Like, I forget what they were saying when McCool came, I can't believe the black hole of charisma came up with a decent line when she was talking about her masters. I was just like,
I am a master degree, someone from Florida State, thank you. Something like that, yeah. But it's like putting a piece of gold fleck next to a giant turd. The gold fleck obviously is going to shine. So, you know, sitting her next to Mitchell's
pool.
Well,
like I said, it was one little moment, but it doesn't seem like they're letting her. I don't know how smart she is or isn't. I don't give a shit if you have a master's or not. Sometimes you're smart, sometimes you're not. Whatever. Like, no, I think it's a character flaw that they can't get out of, honestly. Like, they need to give them some semblance of intelligence, because people always compare them to the beautiful people, and as airheady as they are, they never played them that dumb, especially when Angelina Love was in the group. But even now, they let Lacey Von Erich be the complete moron. and they let Madison Rain and Velvet Sky be relatively intelligent. Like, they're still kind of prom queenish, and they're, you know, more worried about their looks than, you know, being smart.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, they have a little bit of room there to not go, oh, this is just unbearable. Like, it's just that one thing constantly. It's just, Lacey Von Erich is funny because she can, well, not really. But she could be funny because she's...
Fuck up.
Yeah, she could potentially be funny because she's playing off of two kind of straight men in a way.
Yeah.
Straight women. Well, there isn't, like, if... Layla was just the one being the idiot because she wasn't the one that has, she doesn't have the masters,
yeah.
It would work out better.
Yes, that's how it used to be. And then they suddenly
yeah.
started treating them both as equals. No, you nailed it, yeah.
Yeah.
So instead of having that good dynamic, I mean, or dynamic, now it's just two dumb broads talking. And talking too fast and talking over themselves. You know, we know all about talking over each other. So,
right.
But, you know, we're spending way too much time on them. So, we got, Kavala and Riley, a good match, and I think established themselves as the front runners in the competition, to me, if this is a legit competition, you know?
Yeah. Voting isn't online, isn't rigged.
Right. But then also... I'm trying to remember who the other match was. It was Lucky Cannon, and who the hell was the other guy? Oh, Michael McGillicuddy.
Oh.
Again, having been established, he's Kurt Hennig's son and Larry the Axe Hennig's grandson. They still call him McGillicuddy with no reason at all. But anyways.
Yeah, they did. Did you miss that then?
Yes, I did.
He said that he decided to take his mother's maiden name.
Oh, I stand corrected. I totally missed that. Well, his mother's got a horrible maiden name, so he needs to change it back to Henning. So,
Well, yeah, and I don't know if that's really the mother's maiden name or if it's just the pure horrendous fact that they really don't want. Which is weird. Like, you just brought in Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase. Like, what? All 3-4 years ago. That they came in, and now you're like, oh, no, we don't want to use the real names because it's going to fuck things up. But between McGillicuddy and Husky Harris.
Yeah.
It's just like, seriously, like, you're not going to give the one a Rotunda and the other, be a Hennig. It's just like, come on. Like,
I don't think people would actually mind that much either. It wouldn't be a big deal, but what did you think about the interactions after the matches? They have them talking and like between the wrestlers and then the pros, if you want. Is that something they need to keep around or just say, you know, they got to go with something else? It doesn't seem like NXT's found the formula, I guess, that they really want yet.
And that was the other thing, is that kind of getting the pros over more, like, they had them bickering up on stage, and it's just like, you know, I really could just watch the Jersey Shore and hear better bickering than what those children came up with on that show last night, because they're like, John Morrison, what'd you think of the match? And it's just like, wow, dude, you're horrendous on the mic. Like, that's all I could sit there thinking to myself. It's just like, this is terrible, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I don't think he's that bad on the mic most of the time. It's just like, what is this crap?
Right.
Like, it's kind of going back to, if you want to do a reality show, do it right. Like, I think that half of those things are fucking scripted now. At least half of them are scripted. And they come up with better arguments than these guys. And it's just like...
Mm-hmm.
You either let them loose and let them do their own thing, and if they don't do their thing right, you can them.
Yeah. Yeah. And
Or you bump them back down the card or something. Like, those, the pros should be punished too. Like, if they're that bad, like, if Morrison was like, okay, you're allowed to answer this question however you want to, oh, my
mm-hmm.
Lord. Just, oh, fucking A, dude.
Yeah.
Don't put him back in any type of high spot on Raw after his injury is healed up.
Yeah.
Fuck him.
Oh.
Like, I don't
yeah,
care how
it.
Much I like him.
Yeah. Yeah, so you got to show some improv skills, and that's what that's how it used to be. So these guys are kind of making the argument that they need to be scripted. But I don't know. NXT was fine, and it was kind of getting to be fun seeing Stryker get beat up every week. So I hope that's something they continue to do.
yeah.
Which I kind of blew it for Eric, but sorry.
What? Oh, what? He likes them?
He hadn't seen NXT yet, so I told him, like, wow, I was just hoping Stryker's head was splattered on the ground when he got hit last night. And he goes, oh, that happened? I was like, ah, shit. I was like, yeah, sorry. So.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah. But, so I don't know. It still doesn't seem like NXT has found its rhythm yet. So, you know, I know there's other stuff for us to talk about.
Right.
But we've already posted about it on the website. So I don't know
yeah.
what else needs to be said. But I don't even know how long
yeah.
we've gone, but I think it's about time to get the hell out of here anyway. So,
yeah, no, we've gone a good longly time right now.
Okay. That was a lot to cover. So, all right.
Yep.
Well, I will bail. Hope everyone enjoys reading this and reading. What do you do with this stuff? Oh, listen to it. And then,
yeah.
All right. So I'm signing out. We'll get at you next time, guys.
Okie doke, grandkids. Not only am I going to have a sippy time beer, I'm going to have several sippy time beers because this weekend is Drunk Festival 010. Celebrating my brother's bachelor party. So wish me Godspeed and pray that I still have a liver after the end of this weekend. Out.